Today's shir is Masech HaNozah Daf Mem Zayin. And we will begin on Daf Mem Zayin Amar Aleph at the Mishnah. The Mishnah, as we conclude the Perek, discusses a situation that could possibly happen if a Nazir, as he concludes his Nazir, something happens. It says the Mishnah, Mishnah is Rukalav Echon Min Adomim. If one of the blood of the Kabbonis was done, Zrikas Adam was done, Finitma, and afterwards the Nazir became Tameh. Rabbi Lezai Mesoyser Sakol. Rabbi Lezai says that it disqualifies the entire Naziris. Recham Aimrim, and the Cham hold Yavi Yishar Kabbonisov. He should bring the rest of the Kabbonis via Toher. And we have here a machloikis, Rebbe Lezer and Rabbanan, which is really based on the Gemara that we learned in the previous shir. In the previous shir, we learned the opinion of Rebbe Lezer is that only after all of the Kabbonis were brought does Rebbe Lezer hold that we can, is the Nazir permitted to exit his Naziris. And therefore here, if after the first Kabbon was brought, the Nazir became Tameh before the rest of the Kabbonis were brought, that doesn't allow the Nazir to exit from his Naziris. The Chacham, however, follows their opinion that we learned in the previous year. The Chacham say that even if one act was done, that is sufficient for the Nazir to exit his Naziris. There's a Machloikus Rishonim. What would happen if the Nazir brought all his Kabbonis, became Tomei before he took his haircut? What would Rebbe Lezer hold under those circumstances? Will Rebbe Lezer hold that under those circumstances he didn't finish? Because part of finishing is taking a haircut. And he didn't take a haircut before he became Tomei. And therefore Rebbe Lezer will hold that he has to, that is soiser, that disqualifies everything he did. Or is the fact that he already brought all the Kabbonis, although he did not take his haircut, considered that enough was done, even according to Rebbe Lezer. Another interesting machlokes Rishonim is, according to Rebbe Lezer, that we say that if one carbon was brought, the case that the Mishnah discussed, where one carbon was brought, and the person became Tameh, so Rebbe Lezer says that certainly disqualifies that carbon. What? How do we consider this Nazir? Do we consider this Nazir as if he hasn't brought the carbon? And he certainly, as the Gemara will tell us in a moment, has to wait a week. Or do we say that since Rebbe Lezer considers him still in the middle of his Naziris, he gets the status of a Nazir Tameh that we've been learning in our Perek? A Nazir Tameh has a whole set of rules. He has to wait a week and then take a haircut, go to the mikveh, take a haircut, bring a whole series of separate kabbonis. How will we view this Nazir? Or do we say, yes, it can complete his Naziris, but it doesn't give him the status at this late date of being a Nazir Tameh. It's a machloikus Rishonim. Some Rishonim say it's too late to make him into a Nazir Tameh. Other Rishonim say that he becomes a Nazir Tameh. And therefore the halacha would be, he would have to wait a week, during which he would become tar with the Parah Adumah being sprinkled on him. Then go to the mikveh, take a haircut, bring the kabbonis of a Nazir Tameh, the Chatas Oif, the Chatas Doilas Oif, the Chatas Oif, the Karban Asham, then wait another week, and then bring the Kabbonis of a Nazir Tahar. According to Rabbanan, however, the Karban that he brought, the one Karban that he brought prior to becoming Tameh, is adequate for him to complete his Naziris. But Taisa says that the rest of Kabbonis he still owes. When should he bring those Kabbonis? He should bring them after a week. You know, he'll have to take a week to become tar, because that's what it takes, being sprinkled with the Parah Adumah mixture on the third day, on the seventh day. And then after that week, he could bring the remainder of his Kabbonis. So the Karen Ayer asks, why does he have to wait a week? Yes, he can't enter the Beis HaMikdash because he is Tameh, but why can't he send his Kabbonis with someone else? Answer the Mefarsh, very simple. We learned in the previous year that the Nazir has to do Tanufa. So yes, He's not a Nazir anymore. But since he's Tamei, he can't enter into the Beis HaMikdash. And Tanufa, you can't rely on a Shliach. Tanufa, he has to do himself. And that's why we have to wait. We have to wait till he finishes that week of becoming Tahor, and then he could do the Tanufa. Amrloi. So the Chacham said to Rebbe Lezer, Mais v'Miriam ha-Tamudis. There was an incident with Miriam ha-Tamudis. Shenizrukala echem na-domim. She was in the Zira. One of the Karbanis were brought, and the dam was sprinkled. V'bav v'amrloi al-bita shoysim sukenis. And then they came and informed her that her daughter was very ill. V'holcha matzah shemesa. And she indeed went immediately, ran to see her, and found her that she had passed away. V'amchachamim. Tavishak b'nasev tatar. The Chum say that what she did doesn't become disqualified. She's no longer in the zira for the one carbon that she due to the one carbon that she brought prior to becoming Tamei. Then, when she finishes being Tamei because of the death of her daughter, she can resume just bringing those kabanas, but she's no longer in the zira, and it doesn't disqualify the carbon she already brought. Tani, so says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, Rebbe Lezer, I'm a Saisa Sakal. So according to Rebbe Lezer, if the Nazir became Tamei before he concluded bringing all of his Kabbonis, it disqualifies. Ask the Gemara, and if you learn simply the definition of the word Saisa Sakal, he has to begin his Naziris from scratch. Ask the Gemara, Vama, we've learned so many times in our Masechta already, Baruch Hashem, the opinion of Rebbe Lezer, the Kol Achim Alois, that whenever a Nazir becomes Tamei after the term of his Naziris is over, Shiva Saisa, he only has to count 7 days. From our Mishnah, it seems that he's going to have to count, according to Rebbe Lezer, a whole 30 days. But that's contrary to everything Rebbe Lezer has been teaching us in the Masechta. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav, my sois nami the kam Rebbe Lezer. What does the Mishnah mean when it says that according to Rebbe Lezer it's soiser? Soiser kabanoisav. It doesn't mean that he has to count the whole 30 days. Certainly he doesn't have to recount his term, since he only became Tamei after his term was finished. What it means is that the kabanis that he brought before coming Tamei become disqualified. Says the Gemara, hachanam mistabra, and that's what makes sense to say is pshat na Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, v'chom oimrim, tovi shar k'b'nesev t'tar. The Chum say that he brings the Nazir or the Nazira, bring the rest of the Kabbonis. But the Kabbonis that were brought before becoming Tamei, according to Rabbanan, don't get affected. Rabbi Lezer says that they do get affected. But the steer is not on the term. The steer is regarding the Kabbonis that they were brought already. Are they valid or invalid? Shema mino. And says the Gemara further, that one of the domim were sprinkled. They came and informed her that her daughter was very ill. And she indeed found that her daughter passed away. She should bring the rest of her kabonis v'titoher. And right away, afterwards, she could bring her kabonis. So, Shema Mino. So it's very interesting. The Bach removes the second Shema Mino from the Gemara. Mefarshim explain why do we have two Shema Minos in the Gemara? Because when we think about the Machloikis, to Rebbe Lezer and the Chachamim, they're arguing on 2 points. One point is the original carbon that was brought disqualified or not? According to Rabbanan, it's not. According to Rebbe Lezer, it is. That's the first Shema Mino. And the second Shema Mino is when does he resume? According to Rabbanon, as soon as she becomes Tahor, he's fine. According to Rabbi Lezer, doesn't require just Tahara, she has to undergo more because she's still in the zero. Hanu lach shlosh minin, hanu lach shlosh minin, hanu lach shlosh minin. Says the Mishnah, Kan gadol v'nazir, eim etameim l'kreveim. A kan gadol and a nazir may not become tamei to their relatives, as we will learn at great length in Mitzvah Shem, in our Perek, they do become Tamei Tomei Smitzah. We shine and point out, why does the Mishnah mention the Kohen Gadol before mentioning the Nazir? We're learning Masechta Nazir. So Mefarshim explained that the Torah teaches us in Parshas Emor the halachas about a kohen being tamei or not being tamei under what circumstances. The parsha of a nazir is in Parshas Nasai, which comes after Parshas Emor. So the Mishnah is following the same seder that the Chumash followed. Parshas Emor comes before Parshas Naso, so that's why the Mishnah mentions a kohen gadol before a nazir. So they're not allowed to become tamei to a karev, but they are allowed to become tamei to meis mitzvah. Why? So the Mefarshim explained there are two reasons. One is because kavod habris, leaving a meis mitzvah we know is a meis that's found on the road with no one to take care of, no one to attend, is a terrible embarrassment, terrible lack of kavod, and that's why even a kohen gadol or a nazir may become tamei. Another pshat, because the essay of the obligation to bury a Jewish nifter is stronger than the lysosay of a nazir becoming tamei or a kohen gadol becoming tamei. To what degree, under what circumstances, may a person who's normally not allowed to become tamei become tamei for meis mitzvah? Is a machloikis between the Ramah and the Shach. The Ramah says it's only for actual burial. The Shach, and then the Kudus HaKesef, says that anything that's done for the cover of the Nifter, even if it's not actual burial, just Shmira, watching the Nifter, or taking him out of the sun, is all included in the Heter of a Meis Mitzvah. But as we've learned, the Shulchan Aruch also says the heter of a meis mitzvah, bearing a meis mitzvah for a person who may normally not become tamei, is only if you have a significant or a substantial part of the nifter. Just finding a bone is not enough to allow a kohen gadol or really any kohen or a nazir to become tamei to a meis mitzvah. Now we have a very fundamental question. As we begin these sugyas, Be'ezra Hashem. In halacha, there are two concepts. There's a concept known as hutra, and there's a concept known as dechuya, which means as follows. Under certain circumstances, the halacha allows us to violate the din. The best example is Shabbos. In order for pikuach nefesh, we're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. But the question is, when one is allowed to be Mechal Shabbos because he has a sick person, does it mean Dechuya or does it mean Hutra? Hutra means that there's no Shabbos. There's a sick person, there is no Shabbos in the world. Dechuya means certainly taking care of the ill person supersedes Shmira Shabbos, but it's Dechuya. We only are allowed to do what we must do. Most Paiskim hold that by Shabbos the halacha is Dechuya. And therefore we try to minimize the Chilul Shabbos as much as possible. The question that is asked is regarding this din. They were saying that a Kohen, a Nazir, may become Tamei Tameis Mitzvah. How do we view it? Do we view it as Hutra? There is no din of Tumah under these circumstances, or it's only the Chuya. The Stechemid and others discuss this at great length. The question is a very obvious question. A Kohen is walking. A nazir is walking, and they find a meis mitzvah. Are they obligated to go hire someone to take care of the meis in order that it should avoid them becoming tamei? Or, the halacha is, there's no problem. They're no different than any of us. So, machloikis harishoinim, the Rashba says that it's hutra, it's completely mutter, and therefore, and Ramah, paskins like the Rashba, and therefore, according to the Ramah, the halacha is completely mutter. Certainly, says the Stechemed, that if the only possibility for the Kayin or for the Nazir to avoid becoming Tamei is by having a Goy take care of the mace, that's certainly not an option. A Jewish Nifter should be taken care of by a Jew, and then there's no question that they should take care of the mace. So now we have the following situation. Hoy mehalchem b'derech. A Kohen and a Nazir. And as the Rishonim point out, although our Mishnah is referring to a Kohen Gadol, the same halacha would be with a kohen, because a kohen, unless it's one of the relatives, is not allowed to become tamei either. And a kohen and a nazir were walking on the road. The reason why the Mishnah speaks about kohen gadol, explained the Rishonim, is because we're going to see soon an opinion that holds that the nazir should not become tamei. It's the kohen that should become tamei. And the Mishnah is teaching us that even a kohen gadol should become tamei instead of the nazir. So we have this situation. A nazir and a kohen are walking on the road, and they encounter meis mitzvah. Who should become tamei? Rav Elazar yitm a kohen gadol, v'yitm a nazir. It's the kohen gadol and not the nazir. V'chom maimrim yitm a nazir v'yitm a kohen gadol. It's the nazir, not the kohen gadol. Amlam Rav Elazar, and each one explains their opinion. Rav Elazar says yitm a kohen shem mevi karban atamasai. It's obvious that the iser of a kohen becoming tamei is not as serious as the iser of a nazir becoming tamei, because a kohen, if he becomes tamei, doesn't have to bring a karban. V'yal yitm a nazir. She may be coming out to Masai. A nazir who becomes tamei has to bring a carbon. And therefore we see that his becoming tamei is more serious. Of course, points out to Rishash that if a nazir becomes tamei to a meis mitzvah, he wouldn't have to bring a carbon. But since in general, a nazir does bring a carbon if he becomes tamei, and a kohen doesn't, so we see it's more serious for a nazir. Amrloi, and the Chum say just the opposite. Yit ben nazir shein kedushas to kedushas oilam. A nazir's kedusha is not a permanent kedusha. Or as others say, it's not a born with kedusha. Nobody's born a nazir. Or others explain, it's not a kedusha that follows to future generations. It's just for the nazir himself. The ayit mekayin, shukudushas kedushas oilam, he's born a nazir, and he's born a kayin, and he remains a kayin, and his children are kohanim. And as Rabbi Yosef Engel explains, what is the fundamental understanding of the machloikas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim? Do we look at quality? Do we look at quantity? Do we look at kamas or eichas? The Chachamim look at quantity. Kayin is tamei forever, before him, after him. Rabbi Elazar looks at quality. Since a nazir has to bring a carbon if he becomes tamei, kayin doesn't. So obviously his aveira is a more serious aveira. The Rishonim discussed the following shaila. Somebody didn't come to the Daf Yom Yishir. So he doesn't know what to do. So Nazir and a Kohen are walking on the street, and they didn't follow what it says in our Mishnah. They didn't follow what it says in our Mishnah, and whichever opinion, they did the wrong thing. In other words, according to the Chachamim, the Nazir should become Tamei, but the Kohen became Tamei. According to Belazar, the Kohen should become Tamei, and the Nazir became Tamei. Is it so serious, since they didn't follow the halacha, that it's considered like a Nazir becoming Tamei? It's considered like a Kohen becoming Tamei? Or does each opinion give legitimacy to his opponent's opinion, that even if the person didn't follow the halacha, it's not such a clear-cut case? Rabbi Elazar is not 100% sure about his opinion. The Chachamim not 100% sure about their opinion, and therefore, perhaps, even if you didn't do the right thing, you weren't over. And the Rishonim suggest that everybody will agree that even if you did the wrong thing, it's not considered you became Tamei, an unacceptable circumstance. The Mefarshim asked the following question. The Brisker Rav asked this question. Others asked, the Rav Chaim Oizer asked this question. Menachas Chinuch asked this question. The halacha is as follows. On Shabbos, there's a person who's very sick, and the doctor says he must eat meat. So the Ravid says, we have a choice. We could either take a piece of nevela and give him some nevela to eat, or we could shecht an animal and give him kosher meat to eat. What should we do? So the Ravid says, it's better to do the aveira of shechita versus giving him a nevela. Why? Because by nevela, every kezias of nevela he's going to eat, he's going to be over an aveira. By shechita, it's only one aveira when he does the ma'aseh shechita. And that makes the whole animal mutter. So what do we see from the Ravid, they ask? That when more lavim will be violated, we avoid that situation. So they ask, a kohen becoming tamei is over one lav. A nazir becoming tamei is over more than one lav. Because besides the lav of becoming tamei, there's a lav of bayachad voroi. You're not allowed to violate what you made. There's a mitzvah saseh. So shouldn't that be an obvious reason that the nazir should be the one not to become tamei? So a number of answers are given to this question. One answer, which the Brisk Rav says, is a very fundamental explanation. He says, the subject matter of our Mishnah is not counting lavin, not counting mitzvahs and averis. The subject matter of our Mishnah is, the machloikus or belezen the chacham in our Mishnah is, who is considered more kadosh? Who is considered more holy? And the person who's more holy is the person that should avoid becoming tamei. So it's nothing to do with counting mitzvahs and averis. Rav Chaim Oizer says a different teretz. He says that the lav of naziris, or be it, there are more lavim that a nazir is over than a kayin, but all of the lavim of naziris are weaker lavim. Why are they weaker lavim? Because as we've learned so many times in our Masechta, a nazir could have his entire naziris annulled. A kayin can't annul his kahuna. So yes, there are more lavim by a nazir. But, says Rav Chaim Moshe, they're all weak lavim, because the lavim that you could annul. You can never annul the lav of kahuna. In fact, I saw the Rabbi Yehuda Osser asks, why is there a discussion in our Mishnah? Why doesn't our Mishnah say that if the nazir and the kohen are walking and they have this problem, the nazir should just annul his naziris and he's no longer a nazir. We have no problem. A third teretz that the Michas Chinuch gives, he says all of the lavim that a nazir has all emanate from one point, the fact that he's a nazir. And that's not, it's not to be considered separate lavim, it's to be considered one issue of naziris. There's a beautiful Avni Nezer. You have to be going Olam to say what the Avni Nezer says, based on our Mishnah. It says, the Gemara says Masechta Beya, on that base, beginning of the Masechta. Ein Yontav Meichel Shabbos. Which means, that if Yontav is on Friday, and then you have Shabbos, we all know the Halacha, this is why we have Erev Tavshilin, we're not allowed to prepare on Friday for Shabbos. So he asks why. We all know that Shabbos is a higher level of Kedusha than Yontif. So why can't we prepare on Yontif for Shabbos? So Avni Nezer answers, our Mishnah is the answer to that question. He says, Shabbos is not a man-made Kedusha. Every Shabbos comes by itself. Friday night is Shabbos. Yontif is a man-made Kedusha. Because we, the Bezdin, decide when is Rosh Chodesh, and based on when it's Rosh Chodesh, that's when we know is Yontif. That's why on Yontif, the Nusach HaTfilah is Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. It's all based on the Kedushas Yisrael. On Shabbos, we say Mekadesh HaShabbos. It comes automatically. Says the Avni Nezer, our Mishnah said that there's one man, Omer, Rabbi Lezer, that holds the Kedusha that comes from our creating the Kedusha is a greater level of Kedusha than the Kedusha that comes automatically. That's why Rabbi Lezer says the Nazir shouldn't become Tamei, the Kayin should become Tamei. So that's why Yontif may have more Kedusha, according to Rabbi Lezer, than Shabbos, and that's why Ein Yontif Meichel on Shabbos. Says the Gemara. And as the Miri says, first the Gemara recaps, summarizes what we learned in the Mishnah. Mishnah Makayin Gadol V'Nazir. We have a situation of Kohen Gadol and Nazir walking together. So we have this situation. High Sover, Kohen Gadol Adif. The Chum hold that the Kohen Gadol is holier, and that's why the Nazir should become Tamei. For High Sover, and Rabbi Lezer holds Nazir Adif, and that's why the Nazir, that the Kohen Gadol should become Tamei, not the Nazir. A Kohen Gadol could be appointed to his position in one of two ways. The Torah speaks about a Kohen Gadol being appointed to his position with Mashiach, but being anointed with the Shemna Mishcha. But the Shemna Mishcha did not always be with us. The Shemna Mishcha was made by Moshe Rabbeinu and remained with Klal Yisrael until Melech Yoshiyahu hid it 40 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon. And from then on, the way they appointed a Kohen Gadol was by having him put on the Shemona Begadim, the 8 begadim that a Kohen Gadol wears. And our Gemara, as we begin the sugya now, Be'ezer Hashem, will discuss different circumstances where you have two people, and one has to become Tamei to Meis Mitzvah. Who should be the one to become Tamei, and who's the one that should not become Tamei? So we have a situation, says the Gemara, Meshuch b'shemen ha-mishcha, or merubah b'gadim. We have two individuals. One had the shemen ha-mishcha, and one had the merubah, one was merubah b'gadim. And Tosfos explains, what was the circumstance? Tosfos explains the circumstance was like this. There was somebody appointed to be Kohen Gadol with the shemen ha-mishcha. Then the shemen ha-mishcha was hidden away, the time of Yeshayahu. And they appointed a new Kohen Gadol. Something happened to the first Kohen. And they appointed a new Kohen, and he's already after, there's no longer Shema Mishka. So he's appointed by giving him the Ribu Begadim. And now the question is, you have these two individuals, and he was Kohen for many years. So now these two individuals, who should be the one to become Tamei if they encounter a Meis Mitzvah? Another example that the Rishonim give is that it's Yom Kippur. And something happens to the Kohen Gadol, so they immediately have to appoint, as we see soon in the Gemara, the Sgan, his assistant, to substitute for him. And something happens in Yom Kippur, they meet a Meis Mitzvah, who should become Tamei? So says the Gemara, Meshuach B'Shem HaMishcha Adif. The person who's a Meshuach B'Shem HaMishcha is a higher level. Why? Deal Meshuach B'Shem HaMishcha, maybe Parabah Kol HaMitzvahs. Real Merubah B'Gadim, Eini maybe. An explanation is as follows. We know that if somebody does an Aveira B'Shoigig, he has to bring a Karban Chatas. What is a Karban Chatas? What animal is used for a Karban Chatas? A Kispa or a Seira. A Kohen Gadol who does an Aveira B'Shoigig is an exception to the rule. He has to bring a par. He has to bring a bull. But which Kohen Gadol has this special din? Only a Kohen Gadol who was anointed to his position, who was appointed to his position with the Shemen HaMishcha. So since we see that this Kohen Gadol, who was appointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, is a higher level Kohen, therefore this Kohen Gadol, and only he has this, is a higher level, and he should be the one that doesn't become Tamei. Because a par, whenever a bull is brought, it represents a higher level. Because there's another din, that if all of Klal Yisrael does an Aveira, what carbon do they bring? They bring a par. Now we have another situation. Meshuach she'avar u'merubah begadim. We have a person who was appointed to be a Kohen Gadol, but he's with the Shemen HaMishcha, but now he lost his position permanently. And we have another individual who was appointed this position by being given only Ribu Begadim. And again, the Rishonim construct the situation. They say the following situation happened. You had a person who was a Kohen Gadol, who was appointed through the Shemen HaMishcha. He gets temporarily incapacitated. So they appoint another Kohen Gadol, again with the Shemen HaMishcha. It was a very temporary situation. They bring back the first Kohen Gadol. They bring back the first Kohen Gadol, and the second Kohen Gadol, as Tosfos and the Rishonim explain, is now in a no man's land. He can no longer go back to being a Kohen Hedyot, because he was already Kohen Gadol at one point. But he's not a Kohen Gadol, because there's a concept of Eva. We don't allow him to go back to his original position, and he'll never do Avodah. Now, we have this first individual and the second individual, and the first Kohen who was appointed with the Shemen HaMishcha passes away. And now they have to appoint a new Kohen Gadol. And they don't, for whatever reason, choose to appoint the person who was once the temporary Kohen Gadol. They took a third individual. But by the time they take this third individual, they don't have the Shemen HaMishcha anymore. They have only the Ribu Begadim. So we have this person who was a temporary Kohen Gadol, but he got his position. He was appointed to his position with the Shemen HaMishcha. And we have a person who was appointed to his position only with Ribu Begadim. Who is the one that should get Tamei? Says the Gemara, Merubah Begadim Adif. The person, even though he was appointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, but since he was pushed away from the position, should become Tamei. Why? The Merubah Begadim of Ravaida. He is an active Kohen Gadol. V'il Meshuach Sh'avar, the person who was once the Kohen Gadol, but was skipped over, La Bar Avaidahu. He's not doing any Avaida. And as we explained, he can't do any Avaida. So Tosfos explains, why can't he do any Avaida? Because Malam B'Kodesh V'loy Meridin. Because once he already came to the status of being Kohen Gadol, he can't turn the clock back to be a regular Kohen. So ask Tosfos, why do we have to say the reason? because it's Malam B'Kodesh V'loy Meridin, we should say a simple reason. Because once he was wearing the eight begodim, he was a Kohen Gadol, he can't turn back to do the Avodah with only four begodim. Once you put on eight begodim, you can't put on only four begodim. Answers Tosfos, that wouldn't be a good reason. Because since he was appointed, we could undo the appointment, and it'll be a regular Kohen, and he could do the Avodah with four begodim. Only because there's a reason, a Malam B'Kodesh V'loy Meridin, once you come to status, we don't want to bring you down, that's why he can't do avoid with only four begotten. Ask the Turi Evin, if according to Tosfos, an appointment of a Kohen Gadol could be undone, so to speak, it could be retracted, why is the halacha that someone who was once a Kohen Gadol has the din, as we're going to see soon, that he can never marry an almana, like a Kohen Gadol can never marry an almana? The halacha should be, says the Turi Evin, that we could retract that appointment. And we could retract the appointment. He's a regular Kohen and should be allowed to marry an almana like any Kohen can marry an almana. Answers Rav Chaim Brisker. There are two dinim as brisk. One is a din of minui. The din that you have to wear begodim is dependent on the appointment. And therefore, Tosfos is correct in saying, says Rav Chaim, we can retract that appointment, and now, halachically, he can do avodah with only four begodim. Just Tosfos, the Gemara teaches us there's a concept of Malam B'Kodesh V'loy Meridim. But there's another din. Someone who is anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, there's a din that he can never marry an almana. You can't retract an action. Once he was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, you can't change that. And that's why he can never marry an almana. Continues the Gemara. We're in another situation. Ovi Machmas Kuryev, Ovi Machmas Mumay. We have two Kohanim. We don't have to be speaking about a Kohen Gadol. One Kohen is disqualified because he became Balkeri, he had an emission. And one is because he became Balmum. And they encounter a Meis Mitzvah. Who should become Tomei? Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Ovi Machmas Kuryev, Odif. The Kohen that was a Balkeri is considered a higher level. Dilu Hai Chaz Lavoid L'Mocher. A Balkeri goes to the mikvah, and he's good as new. Vilo over Machmas Mumay, a Kohen who's Balmum. Balmum means that he has a permanent blemish, L'chazil Avayda. Ask the Gemara, Iboy Lehu, Meshuach Mechama V'skan. These are two different individuals. One is a Meshuach Mechama, is a person who was appointed to be the Kohen, that when they go out to war, he would lead them, he would read the Parshias, we're going to learn the Gemara, Mitzvah Mesech Tahariyas, to strengthen them in battle. The Skan is the person that's appointed to be the assistant to the Kohen Gadol, whose position is primarily that something should happen to the Kohen Gadol, he takes over, particularly on Yom Kippur, as the Mishnah Mesech, the Yuma teaches us. The question is, Haimanai Odif, Meshuch Mechama Odif, the Chazal Mechama, he's their leader in battle. Oidim Skan Odif, the Chazal Avoida, he may be in any moment the Kohen Gadol. Toshma, says the Gemara, the Brisa says, the Tanya, Ein bei Meshuach Mecham Laskan, there is no difference, El Shem Hayu Mehalchim B'Darech, if they're walking in the road, Umasa Meitz Mitzvah, and they find this Meitz Mitzvah, the Halacha is Yitma Meshuach Mechama, by Yitma Skan. The Skan should not become Tamei. So we see that the Skan is the higher level of Kedusha. Ask the Gemara, for Tanya Meshuach Mechama, Kaidim Laskan, there's another brayse that says that the Meshuach Mechama is a higher level than Skan. How do we reconcile these two brayses? Amar Mezutra. Linyan hach yoysoi. When it comes, who does Klal Yisrael need more Meshuach Mechama Adif? Klal Yisrael needs the Meshuach Mechama more. My Tama, the Talibah Rabin. Klal Yisrael depends on him. They're in battle, and the Meshuach Mechama plays such a pivotal role in the battle. However, Linyan Tuma, when we're talking about the parochial issue, who should avoid Tumah? Skan Odif. The Tanya. Rabbi Chanina Ben Tignus Oimer. Lam no Tignus Skan L'Kohen Gadol. Why did they appoint a deputy to the Kohen Gadol? Shin Irba P'sul. Were a P'sul to become, happen to the Kohen Gadol? Harei Nechnas U'Meshamish Tachtav. So he should be there to be ready to take over the place of the Kohen. So what the Mar is saying is the two separate concepts. One is regarding Tumah. There we try to avoid the Skan for being Tomei, because he has to be prepared at any moment to take over the Kohen Gadol. When it comes, who does Klal Yisrael need more? The Klal Yisrael needs more Meshuach Mechama. And I saw a very interesting two interesting Psiske Halacha point based on this Gemara. One I saw from Chaim Chinevsky. He says, even though normally the position of Kohen Gadol, L'chatchila, went from a Kohen Gadol to a son, went Birusha, if a son is a worthy candidate. Says Rav Chaim Chinevsky, not Meshuch Mechama. Meshuch Mechama is a person who's leading them in battle. There you have to look for the best general. And just because his father was the general doesn't mean that he's a worthy general. There we don't take into consideration who his father was. We look for the person who will be the best general, because that's what his job is. Furthermore, I saw from the Shaila of Tshuvos, a Fraska de Anya, very interesting psak. He says, let's say we have two people, a leader of Klal Yisrael. He's a leader, but he's not necessarily the greatest Talmud Chacham of Klal Yisrael. And then you have a person who's a bigger Talmud Chacham. And one of them could be saved. We only could save one individual. Who should we save? So he says, it may very well be that the Talmud Chacham is greater. And is, if we rank members of Klal Yisrael, we'll put him higher than the leader. But when it comes to Klal Yisrael, what does Klal Yisrael need? Klal Yisrael needs leaders. And therefore he says that if in such a circumstance we should save the leader over the Talmud Chacham. We should never have such a shaila. Says the Gemara, at Kan Loi Pligi, till now, says the Gemara, we've been discussing the Kohen Gadol of Nazir, Ki Azli B'Hadei Adodi, that they're walking together, and the question is, who should become Tamei if they encounter a Meis Mitzvah? Av Chad Chad L'Chudei, if each one is walking by himself, there, Barat Muya Inan, they certainly become Tamei. Ask the Gemara, how do we know that a Nazir or Kohen Gadol becomes Tamei? Menorani Mili, Tanar Abonin, Akol Nafshis Meis L'Yovoi, Kohen may not become Tamei. This is a Kohen Gadol. The Ma'akos Medaba. Ivar Rechaikim. If it's talking about someone who's not related to him, Kal V'Chaimahu. Or Ma'akoyin Hedjit. Shumetamei L'Kroivim. If a Kohen Hedjit is allowed to become Tamei to Kroivim, the Halacha is Enimetamei L'Rechaikim, someone who's not related to the Kohen Hedjit. Not his father, mother, brother, sister, who's not married. Son, daughter, wife. The kohen doesn't, a regular kohen doesn't become tamei. Kohen gadol, she'enem etamel kroivim, who can't become tamei to any relative. Certainly, she'enem etamel rechaikim. So the pasuk doesn't have to teach us that. Ella, bekroivim ha kasev adaber. It's referring to his relatives. And the pasuk is teaching us, lo'aviv, hu de'enem etamel. He doesn't become tamei to his relative. What does the Torah have to tell us that he doesn't become tamei to his relative? It's at his father. If he can't become tamei, we know that from a Kohen Hedjit. Why does the Torah have to point out La'aviv? To teach us to his father he doesn't become Tamei, but he does become Tamei to a Meis Mitzvah. And I saw from the Beis Yisrael, the Geri Rebbe, that explains why indeed is the halacha that a Kohen Gadol becomes Tamei to a Meis Mitzvah. It was so concerned about the Kedusha of a Kohen Gadol that it should never be defiled, that he should never become Tamei. Why do we allow him? Why does the Torah allow him to become Tamei and allow him, obligate him to become Tamei to Meis Mitzvah? He says, because the whole basis of Kahuna rests on Chesed, rests on doing kindness to someone else. What's the biggest kindness? What's the biggest Chesed you could do if there's a Meis Mitzvah laying there with no one to attend him? So the entire concept of Kahuna is tied to Chesed. And if the Kohen Gadol will avoid doing the greatest chesed, it's just contradictory to his whole existence. And therefore he says the Kohen Gadol should become Tamei to a Meis Mitzvah. But why indeed doesn't the Kohen Gadol become Tamei to a relative, even the closest relatives? So the Shabbos Rabbim, Sefer Shabbos Rabbim, Parashas Emor, says a mashal. He says, if a person, if something bad happens to a person, happens, a person has a financial loss or a different type of loss, and he's sitting in his home, he's sitting in his office, and something unfortunate happens to him, he gets upset. That's the way people are. Let's say he'll have guests in his room that day, so even if he has something to get upset about, proper manners, call,
that he controls himself. Let's say it's a very big loss. Even if he's sitting in front of guests, he may not be able to control himself. But let's say it's the day of his son or daughter's wedding, the happiest day of his life. Even if something bad happens, the simcha of that day will be greater than anything that could happen, anything bad that could happen. The worst that could happen is he could think, this is part of the cost of the wedding. Says the Shabbos Rabbim. A kohen, a regular kohen, is in front of guest. Who's he in front of? The Shekhinah. And therefore, if something bad happens, somebody dies, he has to overcome that and not become tamei. But like we said a moment ago, if it's a terrible situation, one of his closest relatives, even though he has guests, he can't control himself. But the level of a kohen gadol, he explains, his level, that he's so close to the Shekhinah, is supposed to be like it's the day of his child's wedding. He's in such close proximity to the Shekhinah, HaKadoshah. And therefore, never may become tamei, even for the closest relatives.